Many South African families have become world residents, with parents and children living in different continents. This can make estate planning and the execution of a will quite tricky if there is not sufficient consideration given to the potential pitfalls and getting it wrong. Chris Murphy, Vice Chair of the Fiduciary Institute of Southern Africa, is here with me, Amanda Visser, to talk us through some of the important hurdles you may encounter. Chris, first off, can you run us through a few scenarios that may present themselves if your heirs are residing overseas?
Yes, thanks, Amanda. The reality is that most of us these days just sign a will, leaving everything to X, Y, Z, and we think it's all going to work out. But obviously the practicalities around movable items that have to go overseas, for example, if you want to leave a firearm to an overseas heir, that's almost impossible with regard to import and export impacts, licensing, and SAPs. If you want to leave the grand piano to relative overseas, you have to be very specific as to whether the costs of having that grand piano insured and delivered overseas by a courier is met by the estate, because it's not generally permissible that the costs of something like that are allowed in the estate. It's only in the process of drafting your will. If you said, for example, the cost of delivering my grand piano to my niece in Ireland must be borne by the estate. And then obviously the normal items like jewelry, it's always going to be subject to local export and import tariffs, costs of delivery, and the risk. Properties, if you're leaving properties that are in South Africa to, or portions thereof to overseas heirs, are they entitled in terms of their jurisdictions and law to hold the properties here? What are the tax regimes regarding capital gains tax, et cetera? So it's not just a simple one-page will saying, I leave it all to my niece. You have to do a lot of homework in advance to establish what is allowable from South Africa to outside and what is allowable in the foreign country to receive. Even simple things like shares, for example, if you have a share portfolio here, do the local share registrars have specific obligations that are required to be met before you can transfer those shares? So unfortunately, the homework involved upfront to establish what it is you want to give to somebody and who it is quite important.
The other matter that you have to consider then is the executor. And if you have your heirs overseas, is it likely that you will have to appoint an overseas executor? Run us through that process.
So, no. Remember that the administration of an estate in South Africa is governed by South African law. If the person passed away here or was a South African citizen who passed away overseas on holiday, for example. And many people, when it comes to nominating executor, they would nominate the closest family member. So, spouse would generally appoint his spouse in the will as the executor, failing him, the children, failing the children, and somebody else. When it comes to that somebody else or the children actually residing overseas and not being in South Africa, that's when you have major issues, because obviously, whether you look at FICA requirements, security requirements, SARS attendances, etc., not having somebody here in the country who can present themselves in person to some institutions like SARS, or being able to provide FICA and documentation and copies of passports, etc., that are required, you then could run into difficulties. It's not impossible, but it can cause delays. And in an estate, you don't want delays.
So are you suggesting then that if your heirs are overseas and one of them is also the executor, is that possible?
It is possible. For example, we have had situations where you appoint the spouse, failing the spouse, the two kids, and now one of the kids is overseas. As long as the master's office here has semi-control and can make sure that if the job isn't being done, they can institute action against someone here. The overseas person could be appointed as an executor, but we have to have a local representative, either in terms of a power of attorney, and there would have to be somebody else here to make sure that the job is done. So it's not impossible. It's slightly impractical, but it depends on the family circumstance. You don't know what the history is and why they want someone to be appointed as an overseas executor in this instance.
So what would be your overall recommendation in this situation?
So first up is you've got to have a local executor And you could then decide to have the possibility of having a co-executor who happens to reside overseas, but they would have to choose as their domicile someone here in South Africa. So what it would mean, if somebody wants to sue the estate and issue court documents, they should be able to serve them here. The court also wants to make sure that if they want to remove an executor, they can serve the removal notices on the executor here. Just costs in tracking down overseas executors, trying to serve documents on them is not easy. So my standard advice generally is to say to somebody, are your executors in South Africa? If they say some are, some aren't, what is the basis? Or is there a chance that your local executors may end up overseas? I mean, in the modern world, children get up and go and work in foreign countries all the time. Just always keep focusing and factoring in the fact that you want a warm body in this country that can do everything that they have to do with an oversight from overseas rather, but not have an overseas domiciled executor, because it just creates problems.
Excellent. Chris, then there's always the administration part to an estate and the planning of it, but there's something like an J190 form. What is that? And why do you have to know about it?
So the J190 form is more commonly known to us in industry as the acceptance of trust form, which is signed by the executor. So it's a one-page document which you set out the details of the deceased, his or her tax number, where they resided, etc. And if in terms of the will you appointed or nominated as an executor, you would then fill your details in on that form. The only problem is that on the form, it has the wording that you agree that you're resident in South Africa and that should you leave South Africa for a period of longer than 6 months, you have to notify the court, who then has the option, if they want to actually move you as executor. Now, the problem with that is we say to families, right, you're living in England, you want to be appointed as a South African executor, you have to sign this form. It's almost at the get-go, then they start perjuring themselves because they can't sound permanently residing in the Republic of South Africa and undertake to advise the master of the High Court immediately should my estate or that of a person who has signed a surety or should I leave, because you're not residing in South Africa. So it's almost you're lying at the get-go. So that's where you sometimes have to get the admission or the permission of the master of the High Court to say, look, we do have a foreign executor. Please dispense with security. So what security is in the event that if the court feels that there's enough risk to the estate and to the heirs that the administration isn't going to take place correctly, the court can demand that an executor present security. And what the security is, you go to one of the bigger insurance companies in South Africa who issue what is called the bond of security. And a bond of security is a policy taken out to the full value of the estate that basically will cover the heirs in case the executor doesn't do what they're supposed to or commits fraud or there's a problem. The bond of security is an annual premium, which can be quite costly. But more importantly, the insurance companies are not always agreeable to issuing these bonds of security in favor of family members or individuals. They would rather make sure that the bond of security is issued in favor of either an attorney, an advocate, or FBSA, or someone that is FISA accredited who is in the country, because they know that the work will be done correctly and there's no real risk of that bond of security ever being called up to pay out. So it's tricky here again. You've got your son in South Africa as an executor, and you've got your daughter in England as the co-executor. If the court insists, despite the will saying that no security is required, the court can insist and say, no, sorry, we want a bond of security for your daughter. And it is tricky for the son to get that bond of security in South Africa because they can't track or trace that overseas nominated executor.
Given all these different aspects that you have to consider, can you give us some important tips when you write your will and when you decide who will be the executor of your will?
So the interesting fact is the assumption has always been that when you talk about estate planning, the assumption is that your estate planning is for tax reasons or for the wealthy. Now, estate planning in itself has as one of its components a will. And estate planning really, in the simplest form, is a switch. you are planning for an event that will happen. Unfortunately, we all do pass away. And when that happens, you want a switch to be flicked and everything to work. So part of that estate planning is when you sit down and work out your will as an example and say, I want to, if we're all clear about it, we would like to leave our estate to our spouse, failing our spouse, our children, and that's quite simple. But you have to drill down to establish, A, what assets do I have and where are they situated? Are they cross-border? Are they overseas? Are they local? Is it property? At the same time, you sit down and work out where are my heirs and what is the chance of them always being in South Africa or not being in South Africa? What are the implications? And then also map out any other risks, like, as they say, in-laws becoming outlaws. Is there a possibility of a family problem? Is there the possibility that somebody may be incapacitated? Unfortunately, we're all living longer than we're supposed to, but our minds don't ever always keep pace. And therefore, it is foreseeable that in the future, I may inherit from my spouse, but I may not have the capability or the mind to know what I've got to get. So gone are the days where you can just walk up to an institution, a person, or a attorney as an example, and say, I want my will to say X, Y, Z. The attorney cannot be faulted or the will drafter cannot be faulted for drafting the will on what you've said, but then they're just drafting a will. They're not doing estate planning. You have to drill down to work out what the client wants. Is it possible? What the client wants, is it financially viable? And will it create liquidity at the time of death to make sure that everything just works? Tax man gets paid, properties are transferred, and there's no issue. So working towards that flicking of the switch. We know that some clients don't want to do that as an investigation, and they don't want to let their family members, nieces, nephews know that there's a possibility that one day they may inherit from me. So now I have to get the information like their ID number, how they are married, what their marital regime is, how simple will it be to get the assets to them overseas, etc. But unfortunately, you have to. It's information is key. So the investigation at the time, establishing marital regimes, establishing what the tax clearance basis are, where are the heirs registered. So it's become a lot more info-intensive, research-intensive to make sure that it all just works the way you want it to work and that every so often, every 3 or 5 years, you just have a look at your will, update it, and make changes as regards any different family relationships, unfortunately, like divorces or death of heirs or issues that have arisen in the last 5 years.
Thank you, Chris. Chris Murphy is the Vice Chair of the Fiduciary Institute of Southern Africa.